today we're going to briefly touch on the concept of the individual as it relates to politics. It's going to be a quick one, so buckle up. Here we go. My name is Taylor, and this is Escaping Left, Right, and Center. All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's been a hot moment since last we did this. Life has a funny way of interfering with the things that we want to do. There's the things we have to do and the things we want to do, and sometimes the things we have to do get in the way. But we're back now. Hopefully we're going to reestablish some semblance of a cadence, and we're going to start today. So many moons ago, in the year of our Lord, 2023, we were discussing the idea of this differently structured understanding of sort of a political framework, the idea of the distribution of responsibility and stewardship and things like that. And so today we're going to talk about the lowest, or one of the parts of the lowest sort of foundational layer of that idea, in an attempt to lower my own barrier to entry for some of these podcasts. I'm going to try and do slightly less scripting ahead of time. Just sort of, we're going to get loosey, we're going to get goosey, we're going to roll with the stream of consciousness. So forgive me for my stutters and my long pauses, but we're just going to go. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the sort of fundamental building block of this new idea, and that is the idea of the household as being the fundamental lowest denominator, the most sort of the atomic material of a political society. And I use the term household because I think this can apply to not just individuals or couples, but also children. So if you're a younger person, young adult, still living with your parents, I think you can still apply some of this thought to yourself. But the first thing we're going to touch on is the concept of the individual. Since the last time I recorded, I've been doing a lot of really interesting reading. And one of the things that I have encountered is these two conflicting ideas of the individual when it comes to politics. There were several writers in the French Revolution era who thought of the role of the individual as sort of, there was a contract with society, that the individual as a independent actor sort of signs on to participate in his society. And so there's some utilitarianism involved in that, and it sort of influences some of the ways in which a person is responsible to their peers and to their societies and communities. But then there's another branch of thinking, which comes more from the English-speaking philosophical side of things, where the individual, in its most philosophical sense, can't really be differentiated from the society in which that person lives, right? So if you think about when you're born, you are born into a family. There's no contractual language. There's no mental acquiescence on the part of the baby to join this particular family. You are just brought into the world in a state of community with your family. And likewise, that family is part of a community, part of a town, part of a city. There's no way to mechanically isolate an individual in the sense of like a Rousseau social contract kind of way. So I found that to be I think that's correct. That was sort of my working assumption. But it was interesting to hear people like John Locke and Thomas Hobbes go into that with more detail. Edmund Burke has a famous quote where he calls the family the little platoon of democracy, which I think is great. The molecular stuff of which a democratic society is comprised of. So when I think about individualism, I think there is a tendency in American nomenclature to put the individual up on a pedestal as some sort of ultimate ideal, like rugged individualism and not having to depend on anyone and being able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and it's me against the world. And I think there is a lot of value in that, and in the liberal tradition, uppercase L, liberal, sort of classic philosophical liberalism, it is more important to put emphasis on individuality, but the pendulum can swing too far. Obviously, the ultimate expression of individuality is anarchy, which I think most people would agree is less than ideal. So there is a happy point on the spectrum where individuality is respected and maintained and properly esteemed, but there isn't this sort of idolizing of me versus the world. So it's important for the individual to be nested within the concept of the household or the family. So that's kind of my very broad idea of the individual. So any policies involving an individual, they need to be very precise, very careful. I was also reading about the idea of governments being purposefully limited in their ability to require behaviors of their citizens. So the best type of laws regarding individuals are laws that say you may not do X, Y, and Z. Like, you may not set another person's house on fire. We call that arson. You may not defraud another business of their money, right? So they're some of the better laws are the you may not laws, as opposed to laws of coercion. You must do X, you must do Y. And I think the Western tradition has done a good job at avoiding some of those you must do X, you must do Y laws when it comes to the individual. So we're going to stop there. Like I said, these are going to be quick hitters. We're going to sit down. We're going to hit record. We're going to talk about what's percolating to the top. I would love to hear from you if you have thoughts about the role of individuals. I know pushing back on the American mythos of the individual is not necessarily a commonplace thought process nowadays, so I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do so at contact@elrcpodcast.com. Alrighty, folks. Hopefully we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.